This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, March 16, 2022, Wednesday in the second week of Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I have stood in thy sight to speak for them and to turn thy indignation from them.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Those words spoken by the prophet Jeremiah in the first reading echo exactly the words in many forms that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke. I have stood in thy sight, speaking to God, I have stood in thy sight to speak for them, the people, and to turn thy indignation from them. Jeremiah speaks these words because all the prophets of the Old Testament are foreshadows of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our true prophet. He's not only our true prophet, but our true priest and our king. He came for a reason, to stand in the sight of God, to speak for us, and to turn God's indignation from us. The first two parts everybody likes. I've stood at thy side to speak for them. But this whole to turn thy indignation from them, that kind of is a sticking point for a lot of people in our day and age. People don't like to hear that God may be indignant toward them. He most certainly is indignant towards us who sin in thought, word, and deed all the time. We needed someone to stand before God and to turn his indignation from us. That's why we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have this personal relationship with him. Because it's not he does it collectively because you're this or you're that in this church, that church. It is about Jesus Christ, who must be the one who you embrace as an individual in faith and obedience. And then the Father's indignation is turned from if you live that life of faith and obedience. There's always a caveat to these things. When we look at these parallels between Jeremiah and our Lord Jesus Christ, they're almost ridiculously close. It's not like sort of close. Jeremiah, what is he doing? And so what's the context of Jeremiah 18 is what the chapter we have that this came from. Jeremiah is charging those who conspire against him. He's charging them before God. He's accusing them before God. And he names them by their category. He is bringing charge against the priests of his day, and he is charging against the wise of his day and the prophets of his day. They are institutional religionists. They don't like people that buck the system. If you'll ever notice, anybody who speaks truly for God is going to buck the system. It happened to Jeremiah. It happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. It happens to all the good disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ in our day. We do not serve an institutional religion. Did our Lord Jesus Christ institute the Catholic Church? Yes. Is it an institution of divine establishment? Yes. Is it a holy and perfect institution? Yes. Because of us? Absolutely not, because of the one who established it. Jeremiah foreshadows this because this institution comes at a price. This establishment of the church in this relationship and this turning away of God's indignation from us, it comes at a price. It came at the price of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, after he identifies of whom he's speaking, he says, come, let us invent devices against Jeremiah. He accuses them exactly for what they said, for what they've done to him. So they say, let us strike him with the tongue and give no heed to his words. And Jeremiah says, give heed to me, O Lord, and hear the voice of my adversaries. If you're not paying attention, that can look kind of convoluted. Hear me and hear the voice of my adversaries. He's saying, I want you to hear me complaining about them because I don't want to tell you what they're saying. You listen to them. You hear what they say. You hear them say that they're going to invent devices against me and let them strike me with the tongue and then turn him over to a shameful death. Why? Because he's bucking the system. He is ruffling the feathers of those who are all about the institution. And I am not bad-mouthing institutions. There is nobody on the face of this planet, I do believe, that will, you know, that could look at me and say that I am not one to embrace and put forth the teachings of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's not what I'm going. But you can't look at that. I'm a Catholic, so I'm okay. That's not the reason you're okay. The reason you're okay is because of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. That's why you're okay. And you're okay if you have that caveat of living a life of faith and obedience to him. This is, give heed to me, O Lord. If Jeremiah had to say it and our Lord Jesus Christ said it, and he's our example, we have to say that also. We have to look at our Lord in our prayers and say, give heed to me, O Lord, because of what you say? No, because of how you live. Because you can say all kinds of things, but if you're not living commensurate with what you say, then it's all for naught. This is why servants of God say, give heed to me, O Lord. Hear the voice of my adversaries. Hear those who are complaining about me. I am trying to show forth the light of the gospel in this world. And I get all kind of static from my family, from my friends, all kind of criticism because I embrace and proclaim and present very boldly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is the very manifestation of these words. I said, words are not enough. Jeremiah spoke words, but it ultimately cost him his life. So at the end, his deeds, and he stood up against all these who complained about him all the time, his deeds proved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he truly believed what he said, to the point of the shedding of his blood. How much more our Lord Jesus Christ? This gospel we're supposed to present to other people. This gospel is the manifestation of all of those three things that Jeremiah foreshadowed in saying about our Lord. I have stood in thy sight to speak for them and to turn my indignation from them. In the beginning, like I said, the parallels are almost ridiculously close. Who is Jeremiah complaining about? The priests of his day and the wise of his day. In the gospel today, what did our Lord say? Behold, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. The scribes were the wise ones of the day. They're ones that wrote the law, who knew the law, that knew the scriptures. They copied the Torah. These people, these are the ones that our Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of these men. They shall condemn him to death. Let us strike him with the tongue. Okay, what did they do? They brought him before Pilate, and they made all kinds of false accusations. So we see this manifest, what Jeremiah foreshadowed was going to come in this true prophet, our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate prophet, the chief prophet. They shall condemn him to death. They did exactly to our Lord what they did to Jeremiah. The only thing about our Lord was that he was the Son of God. He, in his perfections, was the one who turned the Lord's indignation from us. This is why he, give heed to me, O Lord. Listen to me, is what Jeremiah says. What does our Lord scream from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why, you know, in his humanity, he's overwhelmed with what's going on with him. In the gospel today, did we not hear our Lord's almost nonchalantly, almost matter-of-factly, behold, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes. They shall condemn him to death, spit on him. They'll torture him. They'll crucify him, and on the third day, he'll rise again. Again, matter-of-factly. But while he's hanging on the cross, it's not a matter of fact. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, what he thought about doing, it wasn't a matter of fact. It wasn't nonchalant then. Father, if there be any way you could take this chalice from me, but not my will, your will be done. And then while he's hanging on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? In his humanity, he is overwhelmed with the suffering that he's enduring for us. This is, I have stood in thy sight. It wasn't a matter of just standing in his sight like a mere human being, standing in his sight, nailed to a cross, held aloft, high above, for everyone to see, to speak for them. He even spoke from us from the cross. He even spoke for us while he was being nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord speaks for us, even in his horrible suffering, to turn the wrath of God from us. The wrath of God could not be turned from us unless there was the shedding of blood, and it couldn't be the blood of bulls and goats or heifers or anything like that. It had to be perfect blood, and the only perfect blood coursing through any veins was the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man that had been received from the Immaculate One, the Blessed Virgin Mother. This perfection of Christ's sacrifice is what we refer to. We hear this word. I'd like to pass out pieces of paper. Okay, everyone define propitiation for it. I mean, we say it all the time, but how many people can really define? What is propitiation? To propitiate. It is to appease. It is to gain or regain the favor. I love that definition. Now, that's a temporal definition. That's from the dictionary. All right. To gain or to regain favor. Some people that are baptized in the church when they're infants, they gain the favor of God and they never lose it. Archbishop Sheen said that. Archbishop Sheen, love him to death. He's got all kind of quippy little things that he says. He said, to truly know the love of God is to pay attention to two things where it's undoubted that God loves you. One, if you've never lost him. And two, if you've lost him and he brings you back. Those two things. And it squares completely with the dictionary definition of propitiation, to gain or regain his favor. When we're baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ, as long as it's done water in the triune formula, you have been ushered into the church because the sacrament is what the church does. It ushers us into the church. We gain the cleansing nature, whether people even understand that or not. That's what happens in our baptism. As long as it's done with water in the triune formula, you are regenerate. Your sins are washed away. Thus says Peter in the Word of God. You gain his favor. Many, after they're baptized, particularly as they're baptized as infants, they lose it. Me, okay? They lose it. Some of us have lost it for decades. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, we regain it again. This is the propitiation for sins. You know, we hear expiation and propitiation. They're not synonymous. Expiation is your sins are wiped out, and Christ does both of them. His shed blood wipes out your sin. It erases your sin as if it were no more. That's expiation. Propitiation is appeasing. It's gaining or regaining God's favor. It is turning God's face away from our sin. This is why we needed our Lord Jesus Christ, because we cannot do that of our own. It has to be by the grace of our Lord that this happens. So when we read the Old Testament story, when we see the Old Testament prophets speaking these words that sound almost exactly what our Lord is, I would hazard to guess that a lot of people who maybe just don't pay a whole lot of attention to Scripture, if you would read those words of Jeremiah, I have stood in thy sight to speak for them and to turn thy indignation against them. Who said that? Most people would say, Jesus. Because Jesus didn't say that. He lived it. Everybody who knows the gospel story knows that that's what Jesus did. We have to not just know what he did. We have to live what he did. If Jeremiah endured what he did as a beforehand pointing to Jesus Christ for salvation, we need to do as he did and point backward to our Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation. This is the gospel message. This is that living your faith. Jeremiah did it, and he died it. Our Lord Jesus Christ lived it, and he died the faith. We too are supposed to live, and it might not be as dramatic as those two, but we are all going to die, should the Lord tarry. We're all going to die,
And we better die in the faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.